That's what I love about podcasting. You don't have just the one way to do it. You have a thousand ways to do it. It really depends what your goal is. If your ideal listener is someone who's part of the masses, you want to like, oh, you're part of a community.
There's over 1.9 million podcasts. Most of them never see the results they expected. They want to monetize, but their show ends up costing them money, and they never achieve the listenership they desire. This show will help you launch, grow, monetize, and inspire with your podcast. Get ready to take notes, because here's your host, Adam Adams.
And we're back with another episode of the Podcast on Podcasting. I'm your host, Adam, AAA Adams, and I'm thrilled and excited to have Anna Xavier. How are you, Anna?
I'm good, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. How are you?
I'm fantastic. It is still winter somehow. It should be spring, but it's snowed like a foot yesterday, and it's already spring. I don't get it, but that's all good. It's a good exercise to kind of shovel the snow, and you're getting fresh air at the same time and some sunlight, so it's very healthy, and I shouldn't complain in the slightest for the extra exercise that I was able to have. So other than that, I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for asking. Anna is the founder of the Podcast Space, where they help entrepreneurs figure out like the strategy and how to have a podcast that fits their business strategy. They do a lot of the editing, the show notes, and they do consulting to help you just be able to hone in your message and be a better host. And they take off some of the hard parts for you so that you can kind of stay in your lane and focus on that. Today on this episode, we were going to talk a little bit about like kind of the basics about what you need in order to have a podcast. And one of the biggest ones that I'm thrilled and excited to be able to jump into is something we haven't really talked about on the show yet. And that is building your tribe, understanding how to create your ideal listener profile. So that's what we'll be talking about with Anna. Anna, what did I miss on your bio that you think is important as we talk about being able to kind of hone in your message for your ideal listener?
Well, I think you did a great job introducing me. The things that I would probably just add is that I've been working in broadcasting, both internet and live radio, for now 10 years in digital marketing. So that really helped me understand a little bit about what are really people missing? What are people kind of the major pitfalls? And one of the things that I love doing is working with business owners who are really passionate about and kind of improving their communities somehow. So you don't need to be creating educational content, but you need to be helping the people within your community. And so something that I realized is that primarily, we work with women. In the beginning, I didn't intend it to, but it just happened. So I realized that women were really fierce, really determined to do a podcast, but then they were getting really stuck on the technical side, which is totally understandable. I mean, it can be paralyzing sometimes if you don't know what you're doing, and just it's kind of like getting over that hump. And so besides just talking to them and understanding, all right, what is your podcast idea? What are your issues, your technical difficulties that you're experiencing? I realized that a lot of times they knew their business through and through, but they didn't know how to translate that to a podcast. And so you, Adam, I mean, you know everything about your business. I do nothing in coming in and saying like, oh, let's just like take this idea and just try it out. Like, I will rely on your expertise. You know your customers more than and better than anyone. So that's pretty much what I do with them, is figuring out, taking out a little bit of that. I think like sometimes it's kind of like that fog that is kind of like the connection between who you are as a business owner and what is your podcast tribe. A lot of times, if you're using a podcast to grow your business, which is the majority of the podcasters out there, either you're trying to network with decision makers in order to grow your business, or you're creating content to become a thought leader online to grow your business, or you're trying to create these lead generation process to grow your customer base. Like all of these things, they rely on your business as a base. So a lot of times people assume that they're not related, and they are. If this is your marketing or your lead generation, you already know a lot about them, but you may not realizing. So what I really do is figuring out who your customer avatar slash listener avatar is. So it's really taking those little things like And this is where it has evolved a little bit through the years, right? Maybe I'd say 5 to 10 years ago, people were like, all right, so you're talking to, and you would be something like, is it a man or is it a woman? And like, what is their education and where are they located? And it would be around a little bit around that, and it will be it. But what I do is help them figure out exactly who are your clients in the sense of where do they shop? Like, do they have additional income, disposable income or not? Because you're going to really have a different podcast approach or offer approach depending on that, right? If they're kind of like thrifty or if they have heaps of money to spend. If they are kind of tech savvy, that's the one thing that I see a lot of people not think about. If you are talking to an audience that is incredibly tech savvy, you can go and do the gamut, right? You can really like tell them to go to the website and like follow up the prompts and take the quiz. But if your audience may be a little bit more tech timid, you're really going to be something like, hey, you know, if I know that they hang out on Facebook, I'm just going to say, hey, visit our Facebook page, and you pin wherever action CTA you want them to do, the call to action that you want them to do. So a little bit of figuring out that if your audience is really knowledgeable about the topic that you're addressing, I mean, you can go everywhere. But if you're introducing them to your world, the way you're structuring your content really needs to be baby steps, not overwhelming the listener. All of that really needs to be taken in consideration, particularly when you are choosing your guests. So all of that matters. I would even say, what are their age brackets? Where do they listen to podcasts? And this is something that you can use your audience to get access to. So you could really ask the questions. A lot of people just kind of like wonder. I'm like, you have your social media. You have already a presence. If you have your business set up already, you have these kind of like open communication with them already. So just use that. Let's not reinvent the wheel. Let's just ask them, like, do an Instagram Live. If you're not a fan of Instagram Live, throw a poll on your stories. Like all of these things, go on LinkedIn, ask a question. So engage with them and ask them, what are they looking for? And it's also understanding that as a starting point, your podcast needs to have kind of content pillars that will create some consistency with your ideal listener and your customer. And, you know, what are the things that they ask you all the time? It's very daunting to create a podcast if it's week on week, but think about it on planet first. Just kind of like do, I love the word brain dump. So just go on an Excel spreadsheet, get your sticky notes out there, just like all the questions you get all the time. Like that really will help you understand. This is a very long-winded answer to your question. Is that what you were hoping to get?
Anna, one of the things that you mentioned was how you create your ideal like client avatar or listener avatar. What does that mean? Like, you mentioned a few different parts of it, but concisely, what is like a listener profile and how do you create one?
So it's actually not that complicated. I think that people tend to overcomplicate it. So you really need to understand, look, who is your ideal client, right? If you've been doing the business for a while, you will know their age. Do they have disposable income? What kind of, how techy are they? Where are they located? Can you expect for them to do kind of all of those purchases online? Are they more like physical stores? Who are they kind of within their community? Are they decision makers or are they followers? There will be a difference between the content they will be able to consume and say, I get it, or I need more development on that. So it's really understanding exactly, creating a persona that you can look at and be like, I totally know who this person is. And it may be your ideal client.
So when you're doing it, do you give that person a name? Like sometimes it sounds like you're going as far as how many kids they might have, what kind of job they have, how much disposable income they have, where they shop. You mentioned Facebook. If they're going to be there already, then you can kind of stay in front of them there. Do you name your avatar?
I would say that for my clients, I would say that it's best if you kind of name them in the sense you don't need to talk to them, but it really helps. Because when you're creating content, you should address one singular person instead of saying, guys, it should be, I know you need something. So if you're talking to someone, it really helps if you think about Cindy, the lady who came in, if you have a plant shop and she came in every single weekend and she, you know already everything about her. It's way easier than just creating this ghost that you're talking to.
What other basics are there that you think that a podcaster really needs to get right in the beginning? I think it's important to understand who's listening and try to build that tribe. And I want to get into more about the tribe in a minute. But what other basics do you think, like, a lot of podcasters are missing, if I could ask that question?
Okay. I would say people forget who are they in terms of, like, what are their professions? Do they drive or do they work from home? Are they kind of stay-home people or are they people that work a lot? So that will impact publishing times, expectations on consumption. So for instance, if you launch a podcast with maybe a mom of three, that's your ideal listener, she may really need more time at the end of the day when she's cooking, maybe. Don't launch in the morning. Don't launch your podcast in the morning. She may be multitasking. She may be in the kitchen preparing the food while she's listening to you. So I think that is a really important kind of concept to get from the get-go, as well as time. Don't make a show that is 3 hours long if that's your ideal customer.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. And a lot of people come to me and they'll just ask me, like, hey, how long does a podcast need to be? What time do I need to post? My answer generally for the length of the podcast is it depends on your listener. It could be 3 hours or 2 hours, and it could be 5 minutes or 6 minutes. It could be the typical 25 to 35 minutes as well. And you'll get value, but the main consideration is, just as you said, think about your ideal avatar. And that's a piece that I agree that a lot of people miss it. Then the length of their episodes end up not really serving that person very well.
Yeah, like, then, do I like talking a lot? I want to talk a lot, but will people listen to it? No.
Yeah, got it. Yeah, I love it. And I had another question on the tip of my tongue. I've neglected it, but maybe we'll come right back to it. As far as, like, building a tribe, what does that really mean? Like, should we have a tribe? Should we call out our tribe? What are the considerations on naming a tribe if we need a name? What does it really mean to have a tribe?
All right, that's a lot to unpack, I like your
question. The seven part question.
And I think it really depends on what kind of podcast you have. I have one of my clients, she has an offline tribe that is incredible. So I'll just stay there. They can be online and offline, right? It depends, again, are they techie? Are they not techie? Going as, like, naming them, I will say maybe not for the beginning. See how that evolves. I think that having a tribe is very important because you're creating value to your audience and you need to be listening. And a lot of people post their promos on social media. Let's take Instagram, for instance. They'll post, and be like, nobody's talking to me. Nobody's responding. I'm like, what are you doing that is inviting them to a conversation? You're just putting it out there. It's not a double flow. You need to remember that having a community will do multiple things. Sure, it will give you the kind of like the recognition you want, at the same time that you also can lean on them for content ideas. That's what I love. I think that a content that comes directly from the audience is going to be wildly successful because people are going to be feeling more engaged with that content versus just like, oh, you know, I don't care about this topic. It's going to make them feel more connected to your episodes because just like, oh, I asked that question and I'm sure like someone else has it. And really taking the time to post content, it's great. Podcast doesn't exist in a void. You need to always have those like extra promotion on other platforms like websites, social media, all the things, newsletters. But you really need to spend some time talking to them because I think that's like the most important thing. Naming them, if it helps you, go ahead and do it. But I think that the community is there because they will become your best cheerleaders. They will become, you don't need to post to have a feature on a magazine if you have your community raving about you. Like word of mouth recommendation is the best thing. I mean, I still listen to podcasts I was recommended to.
So as far as like, I have a couple of clients that they call out like their tribe on the podcast. They'll say something to the effect of, "What's up, Chef Nation?" Or maybe it's a cooking podcast, okay, and they might call Chef Nation. Or one person might have podcast about mothers and motherhood and going through some of those struggles. So they might call it Mommy Nation. Or
okay,
I'm trying to think of other ideas for calling out your tribe. There's so many, and I
tons of words.
Yeah, exactly. So a lot of them, they're like Podcast Nation or Investor Nation or What's Going On XYZ Tribe. People who focus on this. I've got this client, and I was just looking at his podcast with him. It's called Primal King. And so he'll say, like, I think he calls it Primal Nation. Or so it's basically like their tribes. It's something where they want the listener to kind of identify as mm-hmm. that tribe or as that nation. And I think even John Lee Dumas from like Entrepreneur on Fire, I think he says like Fire Nation or Entrepreneur Tribe, something like that. And I feel like it's beneficial to do that. You said you don't always have your clients like call them out or name the tribe, but I'm curious if you feel like there is a way for us to kind of think about how to name those tribes so that our ideal listener who will end up doing business with us or whatever it is that we're looking for them to take that next step feels like they're part of something bigger. You know, it's not just a podcast. It's a movement, a community. Exactly. So do you have any thoughts on that, or we can just skip it? It's totally fine too.
No, I love it. Let's discuss, because that's what I love about podcasting. You don't have just the one way to do it. You have 1,000 ways to do it. It really depends what your goal is. If your ideal listener is someone who's part of the masses, you want to like, oh, you're part of a community. But if your podcast is about creating an intimate relationship with the listener, I would say that it's good to not call them something, because it breaks the bond between you and the listener if your content is just talking to them. Does that make sense as I'm explaining this?
Yeah. To me, what I feel like you're saying, correct me if I'm wrong, it's like many podcasters jump onto their podcast and they say something like, "What's up, everybody?" Or they'll have somebody on the podcast like you, Anna, and they'll say something like, "Anna, why don't you share this with my audience?" And almost what you're saying is be the opposite of that. Instead of saying "you guys" or "Investor Nation" or "Mindset Nation" or "Entrepreneur Tribe," to just say "you." Because you're really just talking to one person that has their earbuds in. They are either cooking or cleaning or eating or driving or exercising or going on a walk, and they're doing something by themselves.
They're multitasking.
They're most likely not having a party of like, I don't want to offend you who's listening to this and you're about to start your own podcast, but most likely you're not having a giant group of people coming together and listening to your podcast together. You should be honored if you do. And more power to you. And I want to have you on my show. And so you can talk a little bit about it. But for most of us, we're speaking to one person. And I think Anna is saying that when we know who we're talking to, speaking with and having that dialogue with, and we can say, use words like "you, how can I help you get to this next level? Will you give me a call and we can talk about this?" And things like that. It allows that person to feel like they have a one-on-one relationship with you because you're speaking in their earbuds and they don't have to think about the millions or dozens of other people that also listen to your podcast at the same time. They can feel like the message is for them. Is that right?
Yeah. And I'll add to it. I think that if you do have, and I feel like those, there's nothing wrong with calling like Podcast Nation or whatever nation. I think that if you have a podcast that is reliant on Facebook community, a Clubhouse community, an Instagram community, that you are there constantly. And there's that expectation that your listener can find you there. That's like the avenue to reach you besides the podcast. 100% do it. That is very clever because it will make the person say, oh, it's me. Like, let's say me and Adam plus the other people that I relate to that were part of the same community, who have the same problems, we believe the same values, we do the same things, we have the same habits. That's great, because what you're doing is you're building community with that person, connecting them to your brand, connecting to these people that believe in your brand as well. But if all you do is launching a podcast, if you're in the beginning stages where you're building your brand, you're building the podcast brand, you're building this community, it will sound a bit weird. My personal opinion, professional opinion is that start at baby steps. If you have like a massive community behind you, go ahead, make that happen. But you can actually do a third thing, which is to do both. Solo episodes, go ahead for the intimate, you and I. If you're doing an interview-based podcast or something that is kind of talking about your community, go ahead and talk about the we and address your people. I personally think that by calling your community something, it's like, hey Pod Nation, I think that it removes the individuality of each person. So I will always go for the individual because it is, they all listen collectively, but individually. So I think that's depends on the impact you want to have.
Smart. What about thinking, because I know you've served a few clients, you've been in radio as well for like 10 years. You've known about podcasting, you've helped podcasters, you've supported this, you've been in radio. And I think TV as well. Is that right? TV
yeah,
too?
Yeah, I did a quick stint on TV and digital broadcasting. So
Got it. All right. What I'm wondering though is through all of this experience, what are a few things that you know that those of us who are starting a podcast, like I really want to talk in terms of equipment, like microphones and things like that. What's kind of like the basics? What's the minimum? If we're going to start a podcast, do we need to just record it directly on our phone? Do we need to spend $20, $50, $100, $300, $500, $2,000 on a mic? What's kind of like the right answer for people that you've seen over the last 10 years who are getting into this and wonder what do I need to spend up front?
The $1 million question. I would say that's a very good question. It depends, one, what your budget is. So when I started in radio, I actually started doing podcasting in my college that we did not, there was no podcast player. You had to go to a website and you had to do everything manually, an RSS feed that would be hosted somewhere. So like the complications, it was incredibly complex in the beginning. And something that I am appreciative right now is the democracy of podcasting. Anyone can do a podcast. You have a phone, you can do a podcast. I believe, and this may shock some people, I just think that you got to get your basics right. And I even created a podcast article on that website where I really explain small budget podcast microphones. Because if you're just starting out, if you're a business owner, again, I'm talking about who I serve as my client, right? You're a small business owner, you want to use your podcast on how to really create a product that sounds good, I'll say sound quality is paramount. But I was just talking to Adam earlier, I did not have my setup correct, so I could only use these ones. And these will save your life because these are from an iPhone and these earbuds that I have, an external combo of headset and microphone, totally great, because they actually are built in to remove background noise. So if you're watching us on video, Adam has the super nice mic arm. He has, is it directional or omnidirectional, your microphone?
I don't know the right answer. It's not omnidirectional.
Okay,
but so it's not really directional either. It's a Shure MV7.
Okay.
So there's a lot of like what are they called? This is a dynamic mic, and there's some condenser mics that are directional as well, or you can change the setting. I don't know if this one is in that family.
Yes. So I think what I was just trying to get in, I got a little bit sidetracked, is depends what your budget is. But at the same time, realistically, do not buy a 3000 microphone that I had in the radio stations where I worked if you do not have soundproofing to go with it. Because trust me, your neighbor is going to start mowing the lawn. Your neighbor's on the other side is going to drop something and their microphone is going to pick it up. So if you do not have a budget to soundproof your whole room or anything like that, go for the basics. My recommendation is always the Blue Yeti. The reason for that is a very versatile microphone. People say the Yeti sucks. I disagree. The Yeti is very good if you do not know any, or if you're not well-versed in tech setup, because you can take that microphone and do your own solo episodes. You can take that microphone and do an interview. You can do multiple people. If you're a musician, you can use that as well. If you're doing kind of like a round table with people and you're just trying to be scrappy, you can do that as well. And it provides incredible quality. Some of my clients have studio quality sounding. And I'm like, yes, you can do that, because I help them set it up. And it's just, use your equipment wisely. Don't go and buy a compressor and all of these things that you do not know how to use, that if something breaks in your computer, you do not know how to fix it. And then it's going to be a nightmare. Or people that I sometimes editing podcasts and then I see the video and I'm like, oh, they have a setup, a professional setup. What happened? And they're like, oh, I didn't know how to reset it up because I paid somebody to do it for me. So buy tech that you're comfortable with, upgrade if needed. Like, for instance, the Yeti is great, because then if you want to be moving up, you can actually take the USB cable and upgrade to an XLR and then like a Scarlett. So you can really make that happen. So I'd say start small if you do not know anything techie at all. That's my recommendations. So
sorry to cut you off. Yeah, it is interesting that you like the Blue Yeti so much, because like, I'm completely the opposite.
You hate it.
I just think that it's a really bad choice for a podcaster, only because as a condenser microphone, it sounds very echoey. You hear the whole room, the whole echoey. I was talking about Derek Wilson's podcast, Primal King, and we serve him. We do his marketing for him on his show, and we've just really helped him blow that up, and he's getting so many more listeners. But he had a Blue Yeti, and it was because somebody told him to use it. And I was listening to one of the episodes, and it was just so bad. And he's like, why is this so bad? I got the mic that everybody told me to get. And I'm like, what mic is it? It sounds horrible. And he told me it was the Blue Yeti. And I go, do you not have any other mics? Like, you would spend over $100 for that one. Do you not have any others? He goes, well, there's another one, but it was a lot cheaper. And I go, which one was it? He said it was the ATR 2100. It was
A really good one.
And it sounds so good. I was like, you need to switch right now. You need to go and start using that one. Cause like with the Blue Yeti, generally they sit on your desk most of the time. Yeah, so they sit on your desk most of the time. So two problems. One is because they pick up so much extra sound from the rest of the room. Anytime you touch your desk, it picks it up so loud. And the second thing is because it's not right next to your mouth, because it's sitting down lower away from your mouth. The Blue Yetis tend to be extremely echoey because you really want to put them close. And then they'll pick up, like you said, they'll pick up your neighbor mowing. But that's because it's mostly like a dynamic mic or a condenser mic versus a dynamic, where like the ATR 2100, not the AT 2020, but the ATR 2100X or the MV7 or some of these others. And I know we're getting weeded, but I just am so passionate against the Blue Yeti because I've never 100% actually, that's a lie. I have only heard one now. It was 100%. But there was somebody, somebody who like they built this box setup where they put this foam over top of the Blue Yeti that was about 8 inches thick. and it went around the whole thing. And then behind it, they built themselves like this box of soundproofing. And I remember actually saying, I really like the sound. What are you using? And they told me that it was the Yeti. And I was like, are you kidding me? How does it sound so good? And they showed me everything that they did. But out of like over 500 interviews that I've done, that was the first one. And it only happened like, I don't know, a couple weeks ago. But before that, it was 100%. Like I always said, it sounds like you're just using your webcam mic because it's just so echoey. What are you using? And they go, oh, I'm using the best one that everybody told me to use, the Blue Yeti. Anyway, I didn't want to get hung up on the Blue Yeti, but I respect you and your thoughts and your opinion for sure. I thought that it would be important since I am so passionate that there's mics that cost way less that end up sounding really, really good. And also have like not just an XLR cable, but they do have the USB to be able to go directly into the computer. I just wanted to mention that to our listener who's going to be podcasting, that there definitely is still two sides to that coin there.
Yes. So. Can I just like shove in like three tips of advice? Okay.
Three tips.
So, all right. I've worked in live streaming and I was doing like setting up the live stream, setting up the microphone, setting up the lights, all the things. And so the one thing that I do see people doing, and that is one of the things that I do help people with, is getting their mic up set up correctly. And that is the one mistake. I'd say 99% out of times people, it's human error. It's not equipment error. People will see photos online of the Yeti and it is pointing at their mouth. They will put it like tilting. They will put it in all the possible ways. They do not go and read the user's manual. Also, set up your equipment to yourself. If you're watching this right now, 4 fingers away from your mouth, mouth level, not down. Do not strain your vocal cords by looking down. And you do need to buy a little foam, but just like your microphone, it needs it. So I would say if you are struggling, the Yeti also has 4 modes. It is the heart mode. Heart, that's the one that you should use to record your podcast. So those are the basic things that I have had consulting sessions with people within 5 minutes. We fixed that issue, which was the microphone was in the wrong setting. So
cool. Awesome.
Yep.
Thank you, Anna. Thank you. What is the, since we are a lot farther than I expected, I thought that we usually try to keep the episodes fairly short and we've been chatting for a minute. I want you to just let the listener know how they can find you and get a hold of you. So you mentioned that there was something on your website and it was like a giveaway or some information that would be beneficial to us. So just share with us how we can find you and get a hold of you. And that's where we'll end today's episode.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the opportunity. So anyone who's looking to improve their podcast, they can go at thepodcastspace.com/resources-for-podcasters. And we release every 2 weeks, release a new article covering how to improve your podcast and basics, content creation, strategy, all the things, how to set up your Yeti correctly, all the things that you can imagine, we get it done. So it's free. You can also subscribe to the newsletter. It's available on the website. And that's it, I think. And obviously on all social media at the podcast space.
So I'm trying to search for the podcastspace.com. And then you said /
resources for podcasters. Resources -for-podcasters.
Okay, got it. Or just to make it a little bit easier, because I'm on the website now, I just typed in the podcast space. And then at the top, there's just a button you can click on resources for podcasters. So that might be
indeed.
That way we don't have to put all the dashes, but it's in there. And then you can kind of see some of those resources as well and connect with Anna. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you.
All right. I'll talk to you soon. That's a wrap. This episode is brought to you by growyourshow.com. Grow Your Show lets you be the star of your show while we handle all the hard stuff. We offer reliable and affordable post-production services that allow you to grow your show organically without all the work. So go ahead and check out the website right now and feel free to schedule a call with me and let's take your show to the next level. Again, growyourshow.com. You just press record. We handle the rest.